time, this blessing. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for the moms. Thank you for everything. Again, everything you're doing. So in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we declare that you are here and you are talking to our life, our hearts. And today, we like you to speak, like always, not me. Remove me out of the picture. Remove my own understanding and knowledge or whatever I have here in my physical body. Is you. Please be you speaking to the church. Holy Spirit, touch their hearts and transform according to the will of our Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. So today we're going to continue talking about why me. But today we're going to focus a little bit on the mainly scriptures of woman. But I don't want you just close everything in woman or mom. I want also you as a man or as a father also receive this word from God that is going to be, I believe, is going to bless your heart to be better and transform yourself. Why me? We always talking about why me in good or negative, like always. We have starting this series already, starting with the predestination, and then we talk about sufferings with Job. And in that Job chapter or section, it was kind of an interesting learning about God himself, the standard of his justice, the power according to his moral perfection, talking about God. Whatever he does, we know is just, even when we don't understand it sometimes. Our responses always have to be appealing to him, not to anyone here or anything in the world. It's just to him. He knows what's going on. He's the one that is just, and he's the one that is going to bless us all the time. And also in that type of a story of Job, we kind of learn that when you are doing or when you are going through some suffering in your life, we're not expecting to react in those sufferings negatively or maybe with sin or other stuff. It is like just content, believe, and trusting that he has the control in our life and he will be just in our life. And that's what happened to Job. At the end, he just prayed for his friends and he received the double of what he had. It was painful, the process, losing his family, yes. But at the end, God took care of everything that he needs. Amen. So today I want to talk about virtue. Virtue. V-I-R-T-U-E. Virtue. And it is kind of about the woman. We're going through Proverbs 31. And so let's start over there. Let's start in Proverbs 31:10. Then we will go to 28:31. You guys know the scripture. And I hope we can get something fresh today that is going to help us. I received something good and fresh. So, and I know that sometimes or the majority of these days we talk about this topic. But hopefully we can see something new that is going to be blessing us. First of all, this Proverbs 31, it was from King Lemuel. Lemuel or Lemuel? Lemuel, L-E-M-U-E-L, Lemuel. Okay, so, and there's no history or anything. Even secular, there's no story about him. So, but start with talking about his mom, and that's how he gets to the point of number 10 and all the way down to 31. But then number 10, he says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Priceless, right? And when we go to 28, all the way to 31, it says, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm and is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So the first thing that I want to share with you guys, according to these scriptures that we just shared, is the word noble. And Again, we will talk over woman, but please open your heart and mind and receive it, you also, man, because I think it's going to be a blessing. Noble, why noble? What does that mean? Noble means having an inner disposition characterized by honesty, kindness, generosity, humility, and the desire to act righteously, even when no one is looking. Yep. Noble is not so much related to social position, but to a person's moral and spiritual character. And I'd like to share with you guys some scriptures about that. Like, for example, Acts 17:11. It says, "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scripture every day to see if what Paul say was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men." They were called noble because of this, because they were not just receiving whatever the leader is saying. They were just also going and study the Bible and get more deep revelation of what does that mean? What is that applicable for my life? So if we go to the Bible and it says these people were noble, they have the character, it was because they were going deep into the scripture. You guys know the story. I'm not going to say names, but some people call it that some leaders influence too much that people start drinking Kool-Aid. You guys know the story, right? I'm not going to say names. I don't know. And other people also, other leaders. Why? Because they're not going through the scripture. We need to go through the scripture, everyone. Don't believe everything I say. Go through the scripture. Study it. I'm a human being like you guys. I'm just believing whatever God is putting in my heart, I'm going to share with you guys. And I hope and I wish that that scripture is going to bless you also. But it might be we are understanding it differently. We have a different perception. Or maybe we need to study the history of that moment, the context of the Bible in that moment. I don't know. So we need to go and study everything very well. And that will show you a character of being noble. And when we do that, then we will grow in that character. We will show that character, being noble. The other thing that I want to share, it is in Isaiah 32:5a. It says that, number five. "No longer will the fool be called noble, nor the scoundrel be highly respected. For fools speak folly. Their hearts are bent on evil. They practice ungodliness and spread error concerning the Lord. The hungry they leave empty, and from the thirsty they withhold water. Scoundrels use wicked methods. They make up evil schemes to destroy the poor with lies, even when the plea of the needy is just. But the noble make noble plans, and by noble deeds they stand." And that's what God wants us to understand, that the true noble heart lies in the intention of the heart and a steadfastness in doing good, always doing good. That's why when we refer to the story of Job, we say he was going through the suffering. And that was not an excuse for him to say, "Oh, I'm receiving this, let me just act unjustly. Let me do some sin stuff. Let me react bad. Let me respond in the other way." He didn't justify himself just because of his going through the sufferings. He will be steadfast. He was showing that character in that moment that he just believing in his Lord, his Father, believing in whatever he's going through, he have the control. He's going to continue blessing me. I'm going to get to the point that he's going to be just in my life, and he will show it. And he showed that. So that's what Isaiah 32:5a is showing, is the intention of doing good. Any way we're going through some situations in our life or sufferings, that we say, "Why me?" Or maybe any way we're going through good stuff in our life, always be good. In the good moments, in the bad moments, always be good. Respond with good. according to Scripture, as you know, it says that if you know what is good and you're doing it, that's not going to count as a sin. But if you know what is good and you're not doing good, it will be counted as a sin. So be careful. The third one that I want to share over here in this inside of the noble point is going to be Matthew 23:11. It says, "The greatest among you will be your servant." This is Jesus Christ talking. "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." So Jesus Christ, as a king, he's talking over here and say, "I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to serve you." And that's showing us his noble heart, his noble character, and how we are not going to also do the same thing if our Jesus Christ Lord is showing us doing that, why we're not going to do that. So he's kind of teaching us and giving us the lesson saying, "I am the King of kings, and I'm here to serve. Why not us? As his disciple, we need to serve other ones." And that's how we need to learn and continue getting that example from the greatness of Jesus Christ in our life and continue in humility and build that noble heart and character in our life. That's why also in Proverbs 15:1, the Bible says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Do you know that you and I, we have the control in our mouth? Because we can create a big problem with just saying something, or we can just not create any big issue or problem if we don't say anything. Because we have the control. Sometimes, at least in my experience, when we open the mouth, we're showing that we are trying to take the control of the situation, not him, and we want the results that we want to see, and that's why we then receive some other things unexpected in our life. Because I'm trying to take control of the situation. And when something is happening around me, it can be anything, and I open my mouth to maybe try to offend the person or maybe try to correct the person in a right way, I have to be careful, because it's not being, if it's not inspired by God, inspired by my heart, my own emotion, my own will, maybe the things are going to be the right way. And then that's why we're going to stir up the anger. So you have and I have the control to doing that. And that can help us to be more noble with having that responsibility, that respond to be wise, respectfully with others. And that will help us to continue being more and more noble. I want to go to Matthew 6. Because Matthew, we will see here a story from Jesus Christ about that honors those with the noble heart. Matthew 6, it says, 1, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with the trumpets." Remember the analogy that I shared with you guys about the big check in the social media? With what intention are we really doing those things? With what purpose in our hearts? Do you want to show off yourself, or you really want to help the person? And that's what I believe Jesus Christ is talking over here. "As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others, truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in their synagogues and on the streets, corners, to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Right? Simple. He's talking about the needy. He's talking about the prey. Is this also applicable for other things? maybe, yes. It's just depending on the condition of the heart. With which heart are we doing the things that we're doing? And I think that's what he's looking over here. To have a noble heart, a noble character, it is, don't do the stuff for you showing up. Do it for his glory, to show him up, to show him that he's the one that is providing, that he's the one doing everything in our life. Anyway, if you think about it, really what we have right now is because according to his will, because according to his purpose, because he wants. And then if you have that noble heart, then he will use you to bless other people. But always with something in mind, it's not you, it's him. It's for him all the time. And in short, being noble is living with that character that reflects Jesus Christ. Sincere, just, generous, courageous, and full of love. It is not title imposed from outside, but a quality cultivated from our soul. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, 25 is showing two things over here that I want to share with you guys really quick. So Proverbs 31, 25 says, she is clothed with the strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. So today, I just want to just close this with two more things. So 3 points, noble, and then the second one is going to be strength. According to Scripture in Proverbs 31, it says that she, the woman, the mom, the wife, she clothed herself with strength and dignity. Two things. And depending on those two things, according to Scripture, after that, it says she can laugh. Right? She can laugh at the days to come. So in other words, I have a strength, I have dignity, whatever is coming from the future, I'm good to go. I'm strength, I'm strong, I have dignity. And with those two things, there's nothing that is going to make me sad. There's nothing that is going to make me suffer or anything like that, because I'm dressing up with the strength and dignity that God is providing to me. And when we talk about strength, we will say that it's not just physical strength. It's not just like holding something heavy or anything like that. It's more spiritually. It is that anything that happened in your life, you are stand firm in faith, you remain steady under pressure, and you're not moving. You're enduring those hardships. So that's more internally. And that's what God is showing us also in Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength. An ever-present help in trouble. He's the one providing you that strength. He's the one that he can dress up us with that strength, and that way we can just laugh from the future. Whatever is coming in the future, it's not going to be affecting me at all. The second one and last one is dignity. And dignity is kind of a self-worth, not based on pride or ego, more knowing one's value as a human being made in God's image, knowing who you are in God's place and you know, the character that you are with God. And that's dignity. You know your place. You know who you are in God's hands. And that's showing you honor, grace, humility, that integrity that we need to understand. And that will be also giving the respect for themselves and also others. We learned this because when you put those together, the strength and the dignity, that they need to go on hands together. Without the strength, dignity can become harsh and prideful. And without the dignity, then strength can lack courage or conviction, and a lot of stuff can happen over there. So we need both. We need to be clothed by both. That's why God is so perfect that he includes those two things, characters inside of that scripture in 31:25, to understand that whatever is coming in the future, if you dressed up with these two things, you should be good. You should be protected. You should be covered. And we can go through the scripture about different women. For example, Judges 4:4-5. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She was the only judges out of the whole judges that God create or bring to the Israelites. She was the only woman. So it was really important. It was in a good place, this woman. So in other words, she was really strong and courageous, a leader in a difficult times. Another person that we can talk about is Esther, 4:14. And who knows what that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. The words of encouragement that Esther received give her the act to be or to respond with courage. So that way she can respond and help the people of Israel. So in that point, if we can just say, why me? And she was in a good place. Why me? I was here with the king. Why me? Because God have a purpose with you. And he's going to save his people through you. Again, at the end of the day, it's for his glory. It's not for ours. We're just going to be beneficiaries of that. And we just need to enjoy that we have been beneficiaries of God's blessing and his glory manifested. So Esther, she had that blessing. She was being used by God to save the people. That's why in that moment, Mordecai shared with her and say, you need to do this. We need to go and speak to the king so the people can be safe. And she reacted right away. Luke 1:38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Mary showed also obedience and courageous because she was face to face with this divine angel. And she said, okay, I'm here. Let's go. Let's do it. If it's your will, I'm here. Let's do it. The same, we see those women with that kind of dignity, strength, and the future that it was coming to them, blessed by God. There's no way to worry about those. Ruth is another one. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely. If even death separates you and me, when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. What a blessing. Different nation. And she said, no, I will go with you. And your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. What kind of noble dignity and strength heart she have, right? That is showing us the blessing from God, the heart from God that we, if we put it in our hearts and we do those things, I believe this is going to be a great blessing from God in our life. Now, if I go to Timothy in New Testament, and this one is going to be more like a kind of an overall, 2 Timothy 1:7, well, I will start with 6. It says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but give us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. What a blessing. Knowing that God is providing us those blessings that we already have. And you have it. We all have it inside of us. It's just that we need to just like execute it. Use it. Take it. Put it in action. And that will be open the doors that it needs to be open. Close the doors that it needs to be closed. And God will be always glorify himself. I can continue talking about all the women in the Bible. Like, for example, Priscilla. We can talk about, for example, Phoebe, right? Junia. There's a different women in the Bible that that God blessed them and put it in a high spots and high positions, high places, to continue developing and growing the church. So there was an important woman that God blessed them and used them for his glory. Noble, strength, and dignity. That will continue to open the doors and bless us. And there's one more that I want to share with you guys. It's going to be 2 Samuel 20. Let's go there really quick. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 20. You guys know the story. This is Sheba. He rebels against David. So, a little bit of background. David just finished with Absalom. He's dead. And now, he's coming back, David. And when he's coming back, he has this guy from another tribe, Sheba, a troublemaker, according to Scripture. Problematic guy. We can assume things over here, because it doesn't say too much about it. But you will say, okay, David is our king. He's fighting over there, Absalom. Absalom is dead. He's coming back. And now the city, all the tribes, they're over there. And they took, or he, Sheba, took the opportunity and say, okay, let me, because according to Scripture, he's a troublemaker. So he took that opportunity and create some riot over there, and try to see if he can create some division and try to remove David out of the throne. So Sheba went and he hid in a place. And that one is going to be tough to pronounce, but help me. This guy hid in a place named, let me see. Abel Beth Maaka. Thank you. You can. Is that 2 Samuel there? 2 Samuel 20. Let's go to 14. Hallelujah. So the scripture is talking that Sheba went over there and then he hid over there. And then the general of David, Joab, he's going and find that guy because they want to kill Sheba, or they want to capture him. He's creating this division into the tribes. And when Joab get to this town or this place, it was a fortress. And they start building everything to put down the walls. And when the people over there heard, there's people out there that they're going to put down the walls. I don't know. Wait a second. We need to talk with this guy. What's going on over here? And according to Scripture, it says here, let's go to verse. Hallelujah. 15. I'm going to start 14. Sheba, 2 Samuel chapter 20. Verse 14, Sheba passed through all the tribes of Israel to Abel Beth Maacah and through the entire region of the Bichrites, who gathered together and followed him. All the troops with Joab came and besieged Sheba in Abel Beth Maacah. They built a siege ramp up to the city, and it stood against the outer fortifications while they were battering the wall to bring it down. A wise woman called from the city, listen, tell Joab to come here so I can speak to him. He went toward her, and she asked, are you Joab? I am, he answered. She said, listen to what your servant has to say. I'm listening. Pay attention, because this is a woman from the city, wise woman. It doesn't say anything else from her. It doesn't say if she was a prominent woman over there or some title or some role. It was maybe just a woman over there, part of the city. Standard. And then the only important thing that it says over here is that she was wise. And she went over there with the humble heart, noble heart, and say, may I speak with you? Permission, respect. And Joab says, yes, I'm listening. She continued, long ago they used to say, get your answer at a bell. And that settled it. What? What does that mean? She just say that. So apparently, back then, there was a saying that this place named Abel, which is the same place that she's coming from, it was a place that people go to get answers, responses, wisdom. When you have a problem, when you have a situation, go over there. They have the answer for that problem. We are the peaceful and faithful in Israel. How in your life and heart you can get peaceful and faithful if it's not through God? Even when someone is trying to burn down your house, your walls, or get everything down. This woman, wise woman, strength, dignity, and noble heart, she just said to him, long ago, they say that if you're coming over here, you will get wisdom, or you will get answer to settle down the problem that is going on. Here, we are peaceful and faithful, and that will give you the wisdom to prevent any problems and calm down the waters. You are trying to destroy a city that is a mother in Israel. Why do you want to swallow up the Lord's inheritance? Far be it from me, Joab replied. Far be it from me to swallow up or destroy. That is not the case. A man named Sheba, son of Bichri, from the hill country of Ephraim, has lifted up his hand against the king, against David. Hand over this one man, and I will draw from the city. The woman said to Joab, his head will be thrown to you from the wall. Wow. Then the woman went to all the people with her wise advice. And they cut off the head of Sheba, son of Bichri, and threw it to Joab. What I'm trying to say over here, we have problems, situations. And sometimes we ask, why me? Why I'm a leader? Why I'm in this place? Why I am in this city? I said the woman side, the woman, wise woman. Well, God is going to use you to prevent your city to be burned out, burned down, or being destroyed. So God will use you as the channel to bless your city. And she used the wisdom from God with peace and faithfulness, and went inside and talked with these people. She should be courageous. Inside of that place is Sheba, troublemaker. He has his people also over there. She's taking a big risk right now. She can be killed. But when you are peaceful and faithful, the wisdom is coming with you. God is with you. She will bless you. He will bless you. And then what is going to happen in that town, inside of that town, God's favor will be with you. And then the people react in favor of her. and they cut off the head of the troublemaker. And that's what's happening in your life and my life. We have to cut off the head of the troublemaker. I'm not talking people. I'm talking spiritually. There's a troublemaker. There's some things going on. Work, house, home, friend, family, church. We need to cut the head off. Because someone or something, we know who, the enemy of our soul, he's always going to try. He's going to continue trying. And try to create that disunity, division, separation. And it's going to be our role and responsibility to be wise, noble, the character of Jesus Christ, to stand firm and react when we need to react. And be wise, because the wisdom it will come if we have that peace of mind and be faithful. That's it. I hope that will be it was a blessing for you guys. For me, it was. And I agree that God will continue blessing our life. So, mothers, thank you. This one, it was pretty much all related to women. It was all related to Proverbs also. But you, men, also take it. Use it. This is, the Word of God, it doesn't have any specific gender. It's open for everyone. That's beautiful. So receive it. Receive it and be transformed by His glory, by His grace. God is amazing. Heavenly Father, thank you. We praise you and we worship you. We thank you for the blessings that you are continuing showing us through the scripture, through your miracles, through everything that you're doing. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we declare blessing over this congregation. And also, I send blessing to the people that they couldn't make it today. We bless Kenny in his house. Kenny, we bless everything that you're going through. Also, Nat at his house. We bless him with all the situation that he's going through. And everyone else that is not here today, we bless them. We send blessing. We declare in the name of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit will continue touching them, blessing them, and providing them what they need, according to the will of our Father. Thank you for this time and blessing and opportunity. Continue blessing the church and continue blessing the scripture to transform us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.